You know, this morning I would like to talk to you about a subject that I feel is very timely. I'd like to talk this morning about pressure, it's just been something that's, you know, you can look around in our society right now, and you can look around, you can turn the news on, and you can see that there's pressure everywhere you look. You can see that there's, you know, that the United States right now is probably under a pressure cooker. You know, we're getting it ready for this election week this week, and it seems like there's so much division and so much pressure everywhere you look and everywhere you turn. And so I'd like to talk to you this morning just a little bit about that this morning, about pressure. So, you know, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians verse number 4. Or chapter 4, verse number 8, I should say. And Paul is speaking here, and Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." I'm sorry, real quick, the Sunday school department will be dismissed. You guys can head to class this morning. I'll read that scripture over in a second. Amen. Normally, it's my job to dismiss the Sunday school department, and it's Wayne's job to preach, but he didn't know if he was going to be back this morning, and he asked me to preach this morning because he said he didn't know if he was going to be back, and I said, yeah, I'll be ready. I have something that's on my heart, so that's why I'm preaching this morning, but it's good to have our pastor in the house as well. Amen. Amen. I agree. So Paul is speaking here. And he says, we are troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Now, I look around society and I see that, you know, everywhere you look, it seems like there's trouble. You look over in the Middle East with Israel and there's trouble, right? You look over and there's trouble about everywhere you look. And I'm not just talking about a nation in trouble, but I also mean our families and our situations. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Notice here that even though there's trouble, that it's not to the point of distress, right? We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, I was reminded of Paul when he said this, of the previous chapter here a little bit, on what Paul went through. You know, I was reminded, you may be seated this morning. I'm gonna read some more scripture, but you may be seated this morning. So what I found was interesting is we hear this words from Paul this morning that says we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And that troubled, some translations translate that as pressured. We're pressured on every side, but not destroyed, you might say. You know, I was reminded of the story in the previous chapter when Paul was shipwrecked and he was a prisoner and he was shipwrecked and they made their way to the island of and once they made their way to the island, you know, I can just imagine the turmoil and the stress that he went through. And the trials that he went through. And he was facing these situations and went through all of that whole shipwreck and everything else that encompassed that. And then he gets down to the fire and he reaches down and he gets bit by this snake, this deadly serpent. Now, one of the things that we see is he just gave an encouraging word right before that, but he gets bit by this deadly serpent. And one of the things that Paul, you didn't see Paul or hear Paul curse it or blow up or go off or anything like that. But all Paul did was he just shook that serpent off. He just shook that serpent off into the fire. Now, no doubt being bit by a deadly serpent, you know, it has grave consequences, right? I mean, and most of the times you get bit by a deadly serpent, you're going to swell up. It's going to, you know, your chances are you're going to die, right? Because it's a venomous snake. And we see here that Paul had gone through some situations, but still yet he had some peace in the midst of those situations. And I found that funny. Not really funny, but I found it like when Paul says, yeah, we're troubled, but we're not we're not in distress. Amen? And I think that's sometimes where we find ourselves. We find ourselves tormented with pressure all around us. I mean, if you just stop and you think about the pressures of life, and you think about every day that we walk and every day that we face this reality that we're in, none of us in this room is immune to pressure or troubles, right? We all face pressures and troubles. Now, one of the things that I was thinking about was how we are affected by these troubles or these pressures that we face every day. And what are some of those pressures that we face? You know, I wrote a list down here in the middle of the night just trying to prepare my mind on what I could preach on this morning. And one of the things is financial pressure. You know, I don't know what avenue that you're facing pressure from today, but every one of us has pressures. Maybe your pressure is a financial pressure. Maybe your pressure or your trouble that you find is a career or work pressure, right? Maybe there's deadlines or demands that you have to meet. Maybe there's things that have to go on at work that you're not feeling comfortable with at work. You know, for years I was completely self-employed. I know lately me and Joe's partnered up, but before that I used to say, you know, when I was completely self-employed, I used to say my boss is a jerk sometimes, right? Because that was me, myself, because I understood the pressures of owning your own business or having your own thing, and I understood the pressures of that. And there's work pressures. There's work demands. You know, if you don't think there's pressure, you know, think about your family pressure. Now, I don't know about you, but family pressure, there's pressure there, right? How many of you have been married any length of time and you understand that there's pressure with your wife? You understand that, you know, that you got to, you know, I mean, there's times that, you know, things just get a little heated, right? There's times that things get a little pressure, right? You don't quite agree on every situation. You don't, you know, quite have the peace that's, you know, in your marriage. And there's pressure in that. Now, I don't know about you, but there's pressure in raising kids, too. When you're raising kids, I mean, me and Missy, we're in that teenage year where there's pressure in raising teenagers, you know, where sometimes you just want to take them out, right? I mean, those of you who have teenagers in the house, you know what it's like to be raising teenagers because there's pressure. One day they might come downstairs and they'll be perfectly happy and go lucky, and the very next second, it's like, whoo, man. And I'm not throwing stones, but I know sometimes that, you know, the girls can be over the top, right? And it adds to family pressure. Parenting and raising these kids in these times, there's pressure. There's things that we face, right? There's pressure in our friendships, you know? If you've ever been friends with anybody long enough that you know that there's pressure. There's some ooches and owls that you face. There's trials. There's troubles. There's things that you face. Now, I thought about health problems. Pressures. You know, health is one of those things that you can't control. I mean, to some degree you can, but some things, some sicknesses and illnesses and pains that you can't control. There's pressure with our health. There's personal pressure to be enough, to be successful, to be attractive, there's personal pressure. There's pressure in society right now, right? We look around and we look at our government, we look at our nations, we see the pressures that they're taking place in. But we can learn something, even though we face pressures, even though we go through things. You know, I was reminded of, you know, the Peters, they just lost their son, and I can imagine the pressure of loss of grief that they're feeling right now in this season. It's a season in their life where they don't know if they can even possibly make it. It's pressures. It's almost like a balloon. And you see, Paul says, we're troubled on every side. How many of you know when it's just one area, when you can pick your battles and you're only facing maybe some strong pressure from the family or from the job, or you can, you know, if it's just one area of your life that you're feeling that the discomfort and pressure from, how many of you know that the rest of your life, you can pretty much expand into other areas and you can relieve that pressure? But Paul said, we are troubled on every side. Now, if I talk about this balloon, and yeah, I'm applying pressure just to one area, you know, how many of you know that when that balloon can relieve in other areas and it won't explode or pop, right? But when it gets troubled on every side, when it's pressured on every side, like what Paul says, how many of you have ever been so pressured from everything else that your wife says one thing wrong and then you blow up? I know I'm not the only one in the room. Amen. I know I'm not the only one. But I'm preaching this morning on Paul and what we can find from Paul and the encouragement that we can get from Paul when he gets bit. I mean, he just went through a shipwreck. He was pressured on every side. And he just shook that snake off like it was nothing. But in return, it really was something. But he had inner peace, even in the midst of that pressure. So that's what we have to, as Christians, that's what we have to demonstrate. We have to demonstrate the ability that when life gets hard, when we're feeling the pressures, whether it's financial or whether it's marriage or whether it's our kids or whether it's our church, right? Or whether it's our community or whether it's personal pressure or health pressures, right? Where we can feel those pressures, but we don't have to explode under the weight of those pressures. We don't have to lose it. Now, I know that I've lost it a few times. My wife has lost it a few times, right? But how many of you know that there's grace and mercy and forgiveness, right? But we see the power of God working even in the midst of pressure. You know, I was reminded a little bit of 1 Peter, verse number 4. 1 Peter 4:12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange that the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be able also with exceedingly joy." Now, I read that exceedingly joy. So he's basically saying in Scripture here, he's saying that we should have exceedingly joy when we face trials, when we face pressures, when we face these forces that come against us, we should be exceedingly joyful. Now, I don't know about you, but it's easy to shout when everything's going good, right? But how do we shout when we're facing opposition and pressure for everywhere we look? Right? When our kids are under our skin, when our wife is under our skin, when the finances aren't there, right? When we're facing opposition everywhere we look with pressure. You know, I also thought a little bit about what is formed under pressure. What is formed under pressure? Now, I thought a little bit about a coal that you mine out of the ground. Coal. Do you know coal is simply a carbon molecule that is formed through pressure in deposits that has carbon deposits from our plants and the topsoil, basically, that has gone down and it's built up this pressure, heat and pressure, and it forms coal. Now, coal in itself is not real attractive. I got a piece of coal up here, and it's not real attractive. Matter of fact, if you look at coal, it's pretty dark, right? How many of you know that when we face trials, when we face pressure, it's easy to get negative? It's easy to get dark. It's easy to get, you know, complaining. It's easy to have our life be marked with things that are ugly. Under pressure. You want to put any marriage under pressure? Guess what? You'll see things get ugly real quick. You want to see relationships under pressure? You'll see things get ugly real quick, just like this coal. It's simply a carbon molecule that's formed under heat and pressure. And before long, it's pretty ugly. There's only a few purposes for coal, and I know that's to burn it and to produce heat. But really, in the whole scheme of things, coal is not very valuable. Coal is something that, you know, it's a commodity, sure, but you can see them bringing it in by the barge loads, yeah, to burn and produce a little heat. There's a little value there, but there's not a whole lot. But there's something else that's formed under pressure. There's another precious mineral that's formed under intense heat and intense pressure. How many of you know that pressure, that diamond is formed under pressure? That diamond is formed under extensive heat and extensive pressure. So the truth of the matter is when we face opposition and we face pressure from the outside world that we're living in, are we allowing that pressure to make us dirty and make us disgusting and give us a bad attitude and blow up and blow off and yell and scream and have, you know, I mean, nobody wants to be in situations like that. But the reality is we all face pressure. We all face pressure. We're troubled on every side in our lives. So what we have to learn to do as Christ followers, we have to learn to find exceedingly joy in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those situations that's shaping us into something more valuable than we could ever imagine. Something that's marked not just by the precious, zillious sparkle that a diamond possesses. Do you realize that a diamond is one of the hardest materials that's out there? You know, diamonds are marked by strength and resilience. You know, if you go buy a diamond, one of the things that they're going to say is how clear is it? Right? How clear is it? How pure is it? How true is that diamond? Right? And that diamond, the clearer it is, the more pressure that it was formed under. And we as Christians got to understand that our life is being shaped and molded under pressure. And we have got to understand that we can't be negative and dark and disgusting and blowing up, but we got to be like that diamond that resilience and shines and speaks truth and purity in the midst of those situations. You know, a diamond is refined. It represents refinement. A diamond represents love and commitment. That's why when you put that diamond ring on that girl's hand, you ask her to marry you, right? It's saying, it's a token of love and commitment. It's a token of saying, hey, I'm in this through it all. Even though we may face trials, even though we may face things, but our love is like the resilience and the strength of that diamond. You know, diamonds, you know, pressure produces diamonds, but also pressure produces some dumb decisions sometimes. Pressure produces divorces. Pressure produces losses. Pressure produces some negative things. But it's our choice on how we do that, on what we do with the pressures that we face. Each pressure can feel an intense and overwhelming sense of defeat. We feel like you can't make it no longer. I don't know about you, but I've been so stressed out in my life before on some things that you feel like there's an elephant sitting on your chest to the point where you got to go seek medical attention because of the stress that you're under. The first question the doctor says is he says, everything looks good, but how's your stress doing? I'm like, whew. Everybody's got stress. But it's how we relate to that stress as Christians that matters. We got to be like Paul. Even in the midst of that distress, he just shook it off. He didn't operate out of fear. He didn't operate out of distress. He didn't operate, you know, there was pressure, but he just shook it off. He just shook off that snake. He just shook off that deadly serpent. He said, I'm becoming a diamond and not coal. I'm becoming something that's more valuable, right? You know, when we see the effects of pressure, we understand that pressure will expose the foundation of what we believe and what we have. Pressure will expose the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 10 says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. How are you building those relationships? Right? When pressure comes, are you being that positive person? Right? Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For our foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Is Christ Jesus your foundation today? Now, if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of that sort it is. Now, I talked about pressure being formed by heat, right? Or diamonds being formed by heat and pressure. This is the heat part of the sermon, right? The fire, revealed by fire, through the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has buildeth thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Bling, bling, right? Diamond ring, bring that reward, right? If any man's work shall be burned, what do you do with coal? You burn it. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, he shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You know, we see today that we will face heat. We're going to go through some trials. But in the trials, do you have exceedingly joy? It's the foundation of what you're building this life on. Are you building your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ? You know, Matthew 7, verse number 24 says, therefore, whomsoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will be likened unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Right? And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew. How many of you know when you're facing storms in life, that's pressure. And the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and do them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. How many of you know that when you face pressures in storms in life, we got to be like Paul. Just shake off that deadly serpent, right? Malachi 3, verse number 17 says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. That word jewels jumped off the screen to me today. It says, jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Jewels. How many of you know that we are God's jewels, right? We are his jewels. Now, what kind of jewel are you going to be? What kind of precious stone are you going to be? 1 Peter, verse number 7, says that the trial of your faith bringeth much more precious than the gold that purifieth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you see here what God's saying? It says Romans 5, verse number 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. You know, we find joy, glory in tribulations. When we face pressures, we've got to be like the diamond. We've got to carry the pureness and the resilience of a diamond. We've got to be that valuable like a diamond. We can't allow the pressures to allow us to blow up and blow off, right? But we have got to stop being the coal and start being the diamond, church. We've got to start being the body of Jesus. No matter what we face, no matter what trials we go through, Paul will just shake it off. He just shook it off. We've got to learn to shake off the trials. We've got to learn to shake off the misfortunes. We've got to learn to not allow that to rob our peace. Because when it does, I don't know anybody who would say they want a marriage like a coal. We all want marriages and we all want relationships like diamonds. We want them valuable. We want that relationships like diamonds. But are you willing to allow those situations to turn you into something that's pure when the heat's applied? You know, I thought about different people in the Bible today that faced situations of intense heat and pressure. And I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for a little bit. I thought about how when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the King Nebuchadnezzar, he throwed them in a fire. He said he built this tower 90 feet tall. And he said, you will bow down and you will worship it. And the three Hebrew boys, they say, no, we're not going to do that. Our God is not going to, you know, we serve a real true God. We're not going to bow down to no golden image. But no doubt there was peer pressure. There was pressure from the king. No doubt that, I mean, he was strong-arming them. He's like, what do you mean you're not going to worship my king? He was mad, right? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood back in the midst of opposition, in the midst of pressure. And they said, nope, we will not worship that golden image. We will not fall down. We will not sacrifice our standards. We will not sacrifice what God has called us to do, but we will worship the one true God. What the king do? He fired the furnace 7 times hotter. He was mad, right? He felt the pressure then back on him because they were in opposition of the king and they were applying pressure back to him. But what did King Nebuchadnezzar do? He exploded. He got mad. Fire it 7 times hotter, right? And when he fired it 7 times hotter, not only did they throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, but what happened in that story? Even the guards that threw them in there died. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they faced opposition, even though they faced pressure to just cave in, to just go along to get along, they said, no, we will stand up for what God has taught us to stand up for and the principles that he has for us. Church, it's time that we stand up for what Christ has called us to stand up for and not just cave into the woke movement that this society has and is pushing down our throats. But we've got to stand up and say, take a stand, even in the midst of opposition and pressure. We as Christians have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And say, you know what? I will serve the one true God. I will not bow down and worship this golden image. I will serve the one true God. And when we're like that, even though they were thrown into that fiery furnace, even though they faced extreme heat and extreme pressure, even though they went through that, God was with them. Was there not a fourth man in the fire?